Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
In the South, it's always college football season, and the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
Way dismissive of the most inarguable advantage any quarterback can have. Chuck Oliver Show on a Monday, and I hope everybody has had a wonderful weekend, that if you had any interest in college basketball, that maybe it went the way you wanted for your team. For a lot of squads, it did because of that happening, though, and I'm going to, like, who am I going to look at? I'm going to look at UAB and NC State and a few others because it did go the way you wanted for your team. It really, 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 really did not go the way that maybe like this time on Thursday or Friday I would have said it was going to go for Indiana State, or like there were some teams you looked at and you're like, all right, I know how this is going to go. And then as the weekend went on, you were like, all right, maybe I'm not going to be as right as I thought. So if it was a great weekend for you college basketball-wise, fantastic. And we're the footprint that we're in, what is it, 8 SEC teams in the field? There's a pretty good chance it went your way, so good for you. When I say we are way dismissive, this ain't even – college basketball certainly is not a topic. It's not an SEC thing, not this one. When I say we're way dismissive of the most inarguable advantage a quarterback can have, I'm on record, and I don't know, hey, get David Morris on at some point. There's nothing urgent, but remind me when we had David Morris on, remember QB Country? And quarterback with Eli at Ole Miss, didn't play because, well, you know, among other reasons, Eli was there. But he teaches and coaches and scouts and tutors quarterbacks ahead of the draft, and he's had first-round picks, and David Morris knows what it is when it comes to QBs. That's just what he does. So I'll ask him this, but we've talked about it with him before. Jim Nagy, Senior Bowl, he was an NFL scout for 2 decades. Super Bowl rings, he got like fistful of hardware, man. Anybody, Dave Archer, who I've worked with, Buck Blue, when I ask you, ask any quarterback you get around, the only thing where a quarterback really is going to improve, playing in games. Experience. It's great for every player. We're on record, and we know if you listen to this show, you've got on the side of the fridge, you've got your list of sports rules. Sports rules, secondary and offensive line, playing together for those two groups, playing together is its own skill set. For anybody, the more experience you have, I don't care what it is, you got a job stocking Coke machines around the county. You're better at it in year 8. Well, for a quarterback, it's factorial. It's a multiple of more important. It is beyond argument that simply playing in games, especially against high-level competition, there is nothing to replicate that. You can still be a great quarterback right out of the gate. I mean, you can be somebody like Deshaun Watson, who about halfway through that season, I think it was that Saturday night down in Tallahassee, and Dabo's like, Cole, come stand next to me. Hey, Deshaun, go get some. And they even lost that night, I want to say they had like a first and goal that turned into like a third and 28 or something. So they lost that night, but everybody looked at Deshaun and said, okay, he's never played, but he's maybe the best quarterback in the conference. And then Kelly Bryant played a few games. Heath, you were there. Was Kelly Bryant, was it generally understood he was Cole Stout 2.0? Like, he was just borrowing those games, right?
Yeah, it was a thought that maybe he'd get the year. But, yeah, everybody kind of knew one guy was pretty clearly more talented than the other.
And about halfway, same thing happened with Deshaun. It was about, well, not even halfway. I want to say it was like maybe after four games. And then Bryant was like, yo, Kelly, out. And he left. To which Dabo, after the team then went 15-0 and brought home the national championship with a true freshman quarterback, Dabo looked at Kelly, was like, no, you don't get a ring. You quit. Dabo can be cold. But those are the exceptions. And by the way, go look at Deshaun his junior year. Go look at Trevor his final games there at Clemson. Guess what? They were way, 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 way better. I think Trevor, you know, gained about 40 pounds. Maybe that. But in addition to that, they played in games at the highest level. There's no way to replicate it. And there's nothing to say, well, if you do this, well, it will give you the same advantage, outcome, whatever. The reason I'm bringing this up, and because of the portal, the way that this all kind of interconnects, I was having a text thing this morning about something I was going over in my own gray matter last night with Cade Klubnik, and then by extension, DJU. ACC quarterbacks in general, but I think what those two are, and this was what I was originally working around to, was I'm over the weekend, you know, sketching some stuff out, and I'm like, what's going to decide the ACC this year? Because it's still a power, I don't know what it is, we're 4.5? Are we power 4.5 or power 4? Whatever we are. We're at the power 2, and then there's like the rest of y'all. So that's what it really, whatever we're calling it, it still matters to win the ACC this year. So you want to do it. And I was like, all right, well, what's going to determine that? Well, let's start with quarterback. And an extension, like 1.5 is, well, coaching and abilities and continuity and all the staff and all that other stuff. And so I'm looking at Florida State. I'm advantage there. And I hadn't said that in a minute. Wasn't it different when we would look at Clemson and go, they never lose coaches? And they did. They didn't lose players. They didn't lose commitments. Do you realize Clemson, that big defensive end, the five-star out of California, Clemson went 2.5 calendar years without a decommitment. If somebody said, I'm going to Clemson, it was a wrap. It was done. Over. Don't park outside his house. Don't bump into him at the high school. He did not change. And then people started changing. Players didn't leave. Coaches didn't leave. That's not what it is anymore. And you can hire whoever you want. I look at what Garrett Riley and that offense did last year. And to me, when you're talking about the factor that a coaching staff will have on the outcome of the biggest, most, because the coaches do whatever they can, and boy, in college, it's even more important than the NFL, because then the NFL is just too good, like basically everywhere. In college, you can have like a generational change in X's and O's. That comes around every so often in college. Like you can do something totally different that nobody catches up with for a minute. That's not where Florida State is. They're further advanced. They're in a better spot sidelines-wise than Clemson. So there's that. But then I'm looking at the quarterback. And again, I'm trying to decide what's going to decide this league. And when I settled on Klubnik for a lot of reasons, him part of it, but the situation, the team, all that, and then DJU, same thing, those are the two quarterbacks that will determine December 7th in Charlotte more than any other in the league. And I realized all general conversation about Clemson, Florida State, the two involved kids, whatever, it seems all more potentially positive about Klubnik. And I think it's a trap that is somehow residue of the actual huge advantage for DJU. See, because DJU is not a perfect quarterback. He is a physical, athletic, skilled quarterback, and all that matters a lot. But it's not even his physical or, like, gray matter abilities I'm referencing. DJU has started 40 games in Power 5 college football. Dude has put up nearly 10,000 yards of offense and 78 touchdowns. But because we have seen him so much, because we have had so many opportunities to say, oh, hey, DJU, I know him, and it's Clemson, or last year was probably because of who Oregon State was playing, or, oh, DJU's on. We've watched him a lot. DJU has played a lot of college football, and that means that he's had a lot more opportunities to be imperfect. Or, if not imperfect, how about not as good as Trevor Lawrence? Or not as good as maybe Bo Nix interstate? And we have lingered on his shortcomings, or not even maybe a short, how about a lower production Saturday? And we've decided, all right, well, that's all that's possible for him. And it's not true. And especially since Norvell is getting the guy, Mike Norvell is the first coach. The first coach DJU has ever played for who's getting a quarterback who has all 40 of those starts. Not just 14 like Jonathan Smith inherited at Oregon State. He got DJU with 14 starts. Dabo got DJU with zero starts when he threw him out there for 2 weeks in November of the COVID season. Hey, DJU, go be awesome. And DJU went out there, and you know what he was? He was kind of awesome. Was that Wake Forest? It was either Wake Forest in Notre Dame or BC in Notre Dame, and he was pretty dang good. And we thought, I did. I thought we're rolling right into next season, full steam ahead. Clemson offense going to be the Clemson offense. Needle scratch. I was there in Charlotte. Week one versus Georgia in that defense. And when I say the strange confluence of how this all comes full circle, DJU looks at Cade right now and says, yeah, I got that T-shirt. Cade, you go have fun with that. That week one, that thing in Charlotte versus Kirby? Yeah, I'm good. I don't need that. I don't need a week one neutral site versus Kirby. No, thank you. Cade, I'll check in with you, though, after the game. Have fun for what it does for your career with the Clemson fan base, like beginning immediately. Go back and look at that game because, like I said, it was week one of the 2021 season, and boy, it's going to be seamless. Trevor did his thing. He's off to the league. First overall pick. DJU slide right in. We saw two games. I mean, come on. And it was not slide right in. And he might have threw a pick six that night. I have the internet. I could have looked. It's not that important. I'm pretty sure he threw a pick six. And Clemson's defense played its tail off, which means there was nowhere to look but to the quarterback and go, what's up with the 3 points we scored? So there's that. So that's how it started. Neutral site against that bunch. And Clemson, here's in 2021 for that game, I don't know, the spread might have been like 2.5 or so. He's walked to a window before, he may recall, but the spread in that game, like, it was a tight game. And it was supposed to be low scoring, and it was like all this stuff was going to, and was going to be just two Titans, and that's not what it was that night. Folks, that is not the advance billing for this game versus Georgia coming up. Georgia's double-digit favorite in this thing. Georgia's a lot better, and we know it this time. So DJU looks at Cade and was like, son, I've been there. Love you. DJ out. I think he's going to be a very productive quarterback this season, and even, I think, DJ to the impactful level. Now, you know, like, my highest standing you can have as a college player, game wrecker. Is he a game wrecker? No. Game wrecker is like Adrian Peterson as a freshman was a game wrecker. Freshman, he's a game wrecker. Tim Tebow was a game wrecker. You don't have to be that like Heisman Trophy and 50 touchdowns. You know what a game wrecker is. A guy that you just got no answer. Every Saturday, he's better. Percy Harvin is game wrecker. Like, what do we do about him? Nothing. Hope he pulls a hamstring and that they have to put him in the garage and maybe he has, you know, the second Jaguar you have ready, except there's no other Percy. Like, that's a game wrecker. Is DJ Hugh a game wrecker? No. But all his experience and the rest of the roster and the coaching staff and all the other stuff and the schedule where he doesn't open in that thing like Cade, it should equal way more of a difference-making season than DJU has had or his programs have had from him to this point. I'm very much in the positive column for what DJ, like bottom line production and what that team's going to achieve. I'm big on DJU this season, and a lot of it is for this very reason that I think a lot of us are holding against him. Oh, I've seen him play so much, comma, and so I've seen him be imperfect. And Klubnik, I haven't seen him be imperfect as often. Him played as much. So in this case, man, big advantage for DJU, and I want to acknowledge that and make sure I keep it front mind because I'll catch myself doing that same thing. All right, we're going to break, come back, get into it next.
Now back to the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Chuck Oliver Show, except probably this Wednesday we'll have my friend Robert Ferengo on from Doc Sports Service, and we will talk about some NCAA March Madness wagering opportunities. I'll be at Harris Cherokee on Thursday, and so Duncan Newsmakers Line, we will have Robert Ferengo on this Wednesday. Make sure that y'all are listening to that. Reason is because all week, all year, it's all college football. I'm going to talk college hoops for a minute and a half here. It's not analysis and anything about UConn and the returning. I don't know. Let's leave that to somebody else. Here it is, and this is sports rule, side of the fridge, sports rule, and it's true, brother. This is what 11th commandment. The single biggest reason that college basketball is like no other sport, full display all weekend. Here is the code. It is cracked. In college basketball, if you have the coach, you win. Now, as I say all the following, I want you to have in your mind, think specifically. Don't think, well, duh, you have Calipari. Stop. As I say all of the following, I want you to be thinking Bruce Pearl as I'm talking. And you're going to agree with me. Or Rick Barnes or Nate Oates. So let's start again. Think about that guy, Bruce Pearl or one of the... In college basketball, if you have the coach, you win. That's it. Have the coach, and I mean capital C, coach. You are going to win 20 games virtually every season, conference championships, conference tournaments, NCAA bids, and I mean every season. If you get the head coach right, arena, conference, enrollment, program history, size of the fan base, all of that is fantastic. I mean it. And it's all in line after we got the right coach. Hashtag Wichita State, folks. All right? If you get the right coach, and it's every single year, there are places you look around and go, that Larrañaga guy? Yeah, guess what? It doesn't matter. Anywhere you push him out of a helicopter, they're going to win. Heath, do you know who Will Wade is?
The name's come up, yes.
Do you know where he is right now?
Mighty McNeese State.
Okay. He got whacked from LSU. Like the federal BI had him on tape saying, basically, I've paid so many kids, I'm tired of paying kids. So he had to get gone finally. And I think the quote was, you lost 23 games at McNeese State. We're going to win 23 this year. Do you see their record?
They've done very well.
They won 27 games. If you have the head coach, if you get it, nothing else matters. Literally, not the gym, not the enrollment, not the history, doesn't matter. You get the coach, your program is going to win in college basketball. It's over at that point. Heath, how's your Monday?
Kind of building off of that for a second, Chuck. What I am curious about is already naturally there's been speculation about Wade for other jobs. Nobody, much like when Bobby Petrino went to Western Kentucky,
no.
The only question was basically – how long is it going to take for there to be enough mud off the vehicle before you can park it in a better garage? And so now we're obviously in this time in college sports where the perception is sort of all crime is legal. It's the purge, basically, with regards to college sports. And so already there's people making noises about Will Wade. But Chuck, how many people at Auburn kind of took that same approach with Hugh Freeze? Hey, you know, we're going to bring in this guy in Hugh Freeze who – in the old way of doing things was this great effective recruiter, and now that the shackles are off, look out, he's going to just stack bodies left and right, top talent at Auburn. It hasn't necessarily played out the way people at Auburn thought it would.
No.
And I'm not sure Will Wade, if you put him somewhere, you know, he can get some players at McNeese State nobody else in that conference could even think about getting,
But I'm not sure if you put him back in the SEC or the Big Ten or wherever. I'm not sure he doesn't have a little bit of Hugh Freeze effect going on, too. When it's all legal, then suddenly some of the advantages you may have by being willing to go that extra step farther, maybe you don't have anymore.
Oh, it's like, I mean, look around. In 2024 in our society, do you think the SI swimsuit issue is really racy and controversial? Like, does going to a restaurant where they're going to wear some short, really short orange shorts and a tank top and give you some wings, is that really a risque place to have your lunch now? What used to be like edgy and you're getting an advantage? It can be when everybody catches up and kind of does the same thing. You just get caught in the wash sometimes.
Yeah, I was seeing a thing over the weekend looking at basically how the SEC got as good as they've gotten in basketball, because it's not that long ago.
Awesome.
Chuck, literally 8 years ago, the SEC had three teams make the tournament, and one of them was Vanderbilt in Dayton as a, you know, you're trying to play to actually get to be in the tournament. And obviously now eight teams in just 8 years later. But one of the things that they talked about was this idea that you had someone who was an advisor who would tell schools, oh, you can't hire this coach. If you hire this coach, you're going to get on probation. Well, now that's not a thing anymore. So
Rick Barnes had stink all over him, didn't he?
Not as much as some coaches that were possibilities that would be out there. I did want to mention one other thing quickly from the tournament, Chuck, because every year the tournament, they always make a big deal about the idea that, you know, that we're not setting up matchups for TV, et cetera, et cetera. And that might be true. I don't know. But there's always at least a few that say, well, it looks like that has a little extra storyline attached to it. The men's and the women's tournaments, Chuck, somehow managed to put Texas A&M and Nebraska up against each other in the first round. Both committees have Texas A&M and Nebraska against each other within a week of Trev Alberts leaving Nebraska to go be A&M's athletics director, to the point that he even sent out a tweet saying, hey, good luck to those coaches that I hired and had on my staff. I don't know. That feels like a really, really big coincidence to me, Chuck.
I got to agree with you. By the way, when I say like stink on Rick Barnes, this is what I'm talking about. At Texas, round of 32, round of 64, round of 32, round of 64, round of 32, round of 64.
Oh, that absolutely is there, and it's not going anywhere.
And that was his at Tennessee, round of 32, round of 64, round of he was Sweet 16 last year, so who knows? And he has a rough and tumble bunch that absolutely is talented this year. But that's always been his thing is regular season Rick. So whatever that is worth, they've got a great team this year, and they're absolutely a threat. So that's where we are.
Spring is here, and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Braves season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. The king of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
If we DeLorean back just a couple of years, not many, I looked at big, giant Miles Murphy, and he was at Clemson, and I said, man, that's a good-looking interior lineman. Well, Clemson does what they want with their linemen sometimes, and they have guys that you normally think would be larger than maybe a position or whatever, and on third down, it can be a totally different thing with a guy bumping inside. I mean, they do what they want, and they try to get an advantage. Well, it may take a whole new level this year if Peter Woods is playing on the edge, because Murphy was big. Peter Woods is larger. So we got a lot to talk about with this year's Clemson team. But I want to welcome on a Clemson expert who we're going to revisit a topic we started the show with just a little bit, and then we'll get into the Tigers. I want to welcome on from right now, ClemsonSportsTalk.com, Lawton Swann. Welcome back, friend. How you doing today?
Chuck, I'm great, man. Hope you're well.
No, nothing but blessed. Let's talk a little bit of old business, I guess, that has come back around. There will be a DJU and Clemson thing in the conference this year. I was started the program today talking about how DJU, I think what went wrong was he immediately in that opener in 21, like the confidence, it went out the window, across the rooftop, just ran away. And when a quarterback's not confident, you're short-arming the throw. I mean, you know what it is. So that, to me, is what happened. And then he had to get gone because the dynamic with the QB is different. He's 40 starts into his career. I think Florida State and Norvell and DJU is going to be a pretty potent mix this year. Tell me what you think's possible for DJU down in Tallahassee.
Well, I certainly think that, you know, he's a kid who, like you just said, in that opener against Georgia, he looked a bit slow even before that. And that was probably the biggest criticism I had of him during his tenure, was just that, you know, he never had that same escapability in the pocket that Clemson saw with the likes of Trevor Lawrence, with the likes of Kelly Bryant, Deshaun Watson. And I think that really kind of became a bugaboo that he couldn't get out of the pocket. I think he has slimmed up a little bit. He looked better a year ago at Oregon State, though the numbers aren't overly significant in terms of the difference from what he did his final season at Clemson. But you know, Norvell's done a really good job down there putting the pieces together. And I think for DJ, maturity is probably the number one aspect of his game that will help him this year, just because he's an older guy. And I think you kind of see that in college football. Dabo Swinney talks about it a lot, right? It's a developmental game, but everybody wants that microwave mentality where you got to produce and win immediately. Well, unfortunately, everybody that's a freshman or a sophomore can't be what Trevor Lawrence or Deshaun Watson were early on in their career. So we'll see how DJ does. I will say this. I think from talking to the Clemson Tiger fans and hearing them, they're not overly concerned about what DJ presents at Florida State right now. So that's the thing I think will be interesting to watch as the first few games of the season gets going, Chuck, is how does DJ look at Florida State? Because right now, I think from the Clemson standpoint, they would say, well, that's not the biggest deal at quarterback.
When it comes to IPTE concerns, this man knows what it's about. Lawton Swann, ClemsonSportsTalk.com. All right, let's talk a little Cade Klubnik, and I guess we have to talk Cade Klubnik and Garrett Riley and Cade Klubnik and Riley and Antonio Williams coming back from injury and whatever else. Bottom line, how much more productive will Cade Klubnik be this season? What is the early results as they're on a little bit of a break with spring practice right now?
Well, I think, honestly, for everybody, the bigger question became, you know, who's going to be number two? Obviously, Christopher Vezina would step into that role. But if he didn't look good in the spring, Chuck, I think they were going to have to try to find a late addition in the transfer portal, to be honest with you, because you just don't have much. But by all indications, Vezina's playing really well right now, and that, I think, has added a little bit of cushion for the Tigers. But when it comes down to Cade Klubnik, you know, he made so many careless mistakes a year ago that you just can't make. And even in situations where you have to know that the coaches said, hey, you can't, you got to throw the ball away here. You can't get tackled inbounds. You know, just little things with clock management and things that you would expect a guy not to struggle with. He struggled with last year for Clemson, ball security, all of that. So from that standpoint, I think it's way too early to tell. But in terms of what they're getting back, you mentioned Antonio Williams, the fact that he'll be healthy this year. And I think that's one of the things that Clemson's had trouble with, even going back to when DJU was quarterback, is staying healthy at wide receiver. Tyler Brown was off and on, banged up a year ago. If they can stay healthy, and it sounds like Bryant Wesco, the freshman right now that's on campus, is playing really well during spring ball, that'll be good. And then when TJ Moore comes in later, I think that'll help them out too. But, you know, they just haven't been elite. It was wide receiver U for a while. You were talking Nuke Hopkins, Sammy Watkins, yep, Mike Williams, T. Higgins. You could go on and on. They hadn't had that level of talent this year or the past couple of years at wide receiver. But if they can kind of muster up something at that position, I think it'll really help them. The problem is, I think Dabo Swinney has been at times in his career overly complimentary of the players in the preseason and in fall camp and in, you know, spring ball. And so Tiger fans now kind of take, you know, kind of a wait and see approach with some of the conversations, you might say, that Sweeney has about some of the guys. But if these players turn out to be as good as Sweeney makes it sound, then, you know, I think the wide receiver core will be as good as Clemson's had in a while.
All right, real quick, give me 20 seconds on the number two running back, because it was all Shipley and Maffa. One and two are start for anybody. What about two this coming year?
Yeah, I think it's going to come down to a couple of guys. Either David Iziamume, the true freshman, or Keith Adams Jr. They like Keith Adams. He's just kind of a hammerhead. You might remember his dad
was
a linebacker at Clemson, man.
He did
15, 20 tackles in a ball game. Well, his son's just kind of, you know, got the big, thick, powerful thighs and, you know, can pick up key yardage. But at this point, I think those are two names to watch. And then the other kid that didn't get much play but came out of the program down in Alabama that really had some good running backs ahead of him is Jay Haynes. So keep an eye on Jay Haynes. I think he's a slippery guy in the open field.
All right. You were on the line, I believe, when I was introducing kind of the topic I was talking about earlier. You know, and one of the offshoots was Clemson's defense. And help me remember, because I was like, the overall point is Clemson does what they want with their big men. Who was the big and who caught the fake punt pass against Oklahoma in the playoff game? Is that Watkins or Wilkins?
Christian Wilkins. Yeah, Christian Wilkins.
Okay, what he tipped the scales at?
Probably about 310.
Okay, whatever.
Somewhere in there.
303 several. That's not a real thing. People don't do that. You don't throw a fake pass on a fake punt to a 300-pounder, you know, defensive lineman. What are they going to do with Peter Woods? Because he's a legitimate 300-pounder himself, and they're going to see what he looks like at end, right?
Yeah, and, you know, it's interesting you bring up the Christian Wilkins play, because Wilkins, at one point in his career, had to do the same thing, you know, move and play on the outside. And so I think they are comfortable with that. The good news is that already Peter Woods has come out and said he's already trimmed back about 10, 15 pounds. And he's hoping to get down to, I think, about 290, somewhere in that range, and play. The thing is, Chuck, when you see guys like Dexter Lawrence, Christian Wilkins, there's a kid at Clemson right now named Peyton Page. You just kind of look at their upper body and you go, holy moly, human beings aren't supposed to be, you know, built like this. And that's exactly what Peter Woods has. But, you know, he's got a lot of speed off the edge. They seem comfortable with it right now. And, you know, I think the other thing that Clemson really tries to recruit to, and I think you see this more and more now across the country with the way the transfer portal is versatility. Because you really never know who's going to be back on your roster the following season. And you might be really good in position with a defensive end. And Clemson was a little short on the defensive line this year at defensive end. But you might have recruits, right, that you feel good about in that position. Well, if you can move somebody to the interior, you spare yourself quite a bit. So in this scenario, Clemson is sort of benefiting from Peter Woods' ability to be very versatile.
Let's go to the back end. There's more departing NFL talent to replace at corner. Talk about what they're going to do.
Yeah, look, I think if you kind of watch Nate Wiggins in his development, it became pretty clear that he was not going to be sticking around.
I mean,
he became elite. Yeah, the good news is Avion Terrell, A.J. Terrell's younger brother, got out there as a true freshman a year ago and really looked the part. So I think, obviously, he's right now he's banged up, and I think, obviously, he'll be a name to really keep your eye on. And then I think it's the health of Jaden Lucas. You know, Lucas is going into his junior season. He's been injured off and on. He was a kid highly thought of coming out of high school, but has never quite been able to stay healthy enough to get out there. I do like the pieces that they have. They're pretty young, to be honest with you. But all in all, I think that they've got depth and talent. It's just going to come down to how does Mike Reed develop those guys at corner. Because you lose a guy like Nate Wiggins. I mean, you used to see this at LSU all the time, right? They had just studs cornerbacks. And when you're trying to replace them, man, it can be incredibly difficult. But I think they feel really good about where Avion Terrell is going into his sophomore season.
From ClemsonSportsTalk.com, it's Lawton Swan. Lawton, I'm telling you, it's the off season. It's the time when you do stuff like this. I want to see the expose about the freaky stuff Clemson does with their biggins, like what they were doing with Isaiah Simmons. Like, that wasn't real. So I want to read that over the next few weeks or something, or hear you talking about it, okay?
Hey, man, look, go read the article on the curse of 1939 and find out why Clemson basketball can't get out of its own way. That's over on the website.
Snap! Lawton, I appreciate your time, friend.
Hey, man, take care. Thanks, Chuck.
ClemsonSportsTalk.com, Lawton Swan, there you go. So here's what I can tell you about Clemson. They have spent a lot of money and done a pretty good job. I've talked about this before. There are places where they've thrown money at the basketball crib, and it looks like kind of a case of old Cokes in shiny new cans. It just doesn't, like Stegman. I'll say Stegman Coliseum in Athens. Hey, have you ever been inside Stegman?
I have.
They have put a lot of money, and they have made it about as nice as it could be. I've talked about what they're doing at Pete Maravich Assembly Center. So there are places where you can tell they put a lot of money into keeping it as updated as possible. And I'm going to tell you, at Little John, they got it right. At Georgia Tech, they've got it right. There are places around the SEC, though, where either they finally realized you can only get it so right. Like Vanderbilt, I don't know if they try. I don't know if they care. They don't have to care. They're Vanderbilt. But at a lot of places, you can tell they really do try. And they update it, and they spend money, and they put it into it, and they want to keep the thing growing and, you know, evolving. And, well, we need suites now. Like, who? If you built an arena like Bud Walton was opened in, I don't know, like 95 or something, whatever. So it's 25. Nobody thought about putting suites into a college joint. Well, you got to suites now. So you renovate and you do all that other stuff. But then at some point, and this is happening in the SEC. This isn't just, there was a place that UNC used to play. I don't know. It was hallowed, I guess. Carmichael Arena. It had the most, like, it had that powder blue state in the middle of the, it was just it was a magical place. It also didn't have air conditioning. So ACC schools have done this for a while, okay? Maryland played in, what was it, Cole Field House? Hey, was it Cole Field House? Was the old joint, maybe?
Yes, that is correct.
And it's, as I recall, it was one of those where you kind of walked down into it, and it was kind of a, like, shadowy and dead floor and, like, don't dribble it over there. And Maryland's like, yeah, we can, there's a better way. That was not the SEC. It's the SEC now. Auburn, Ole Miss, we have a growing roster of NBA cribs in this conference. As I'm watching the tournament reveal yesterday, it's clear what kind of outstanding conference he just mentioned earlier. Outstanding conference the SEC has become. And it's got a look of permanence to it. And the investment level in coaching has been notable. Talked about that. But also facilities. And when I say Auburn and Ole Miss, that's the start of it. Alabama's replacing Coleman Coliseum. They have had cost and delays and pushing it back, but they're doing it. It took a few years for the baseball thing to come around, more than they were thinking. But they're going to get it right, man. How does Alabama do anything? Coleman Coliseum is not the most super new Coliseum in the SEC. Alabama in, I don't know, I'm going to say 2027. Somebody's going to have, like, the big oversized scissors. And there, all right, new arena's open. The Miss Terry and Coach Nick basketballer is now open. LSU has our – we talked about this a month ago. They're replacing Pete Maravich. NBA-style home courts. Now, the reason is partially because of achieved success or you're courting future success, but that's what we talk about facilities for the football stadium. That's not what this is, folks. That's great. We're Kentucky. We need an upgraded Rupp Arena. Yes, you do, because you're Kentucky, and I mean that sincerely. You're Kentucky. We're Auburn, and we want better. All right, well, if you got the money, open it up. And so Auburn did, and Ole Miss is like, yeah, us too. All of this is great for hoops, and I guess you can recruit a better brand of kid. But it's also because the schools in the SEC, they're all nonprofit, okay? Which means if you have the money, you have to spend the money. And at some point, I mean, darn near every expenditure to help football has been addressed multiple times over. Folks, a weight room, it's still going to be 80% racks, plates, and benches. Okay, so what else we got on campus to spend fat stacks on? And I mean literally millions. The answer in the SEC has become arenas. Now, basketball arenas, yes, but arenas. In addition to hosting the other revenue cash cow for most programs, which is men's hoops, the arena becomes a revenue stream for the university. Ludicrous. Avett Brothers, Brad Payne, folks, they're not playing the previous Auburn joint. I'm in a grad, and I didn't want to go in the previous joint anymore. Neville Arena? The Sandy and John Black Pavilion in Oxford? Yeah, they're playing there. Absolutely, and that's an additional ching-ching for the schools and specifically the athletic department. So this is beyond, I want to win 20 games, so let's have a better basketball arena. This is, we're going to build an arena, and it will be the home to the men's team and other stuff. Volleyball and gymnastics, whatever, we'll do all kinds of stuff there. But men's basketball, because we have to justify for athletics, the real reason is so that Ludacris can bust mad rhymes, and we make $500,000 that night. So that's what that's about. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. Rapid Power 1 next.
More college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Chuck Oliver Show on Monday. One of our strangest, most inconsistent reactions to a crime. Full display in college football. And this is not a Michigan Wolverines topic or even a college football topic. It's about how we judge slash react, etc. Operating a vehicle while intoxicated. All kinds of bad. And for Greg Scruggs, newly hired University of Michigan defensive line coach, his early Sunday morning timeline seems to have all the markers of, if he was driving while intoxicated, this is what the arrest looks like. So Greg Scruggs is suspended indefinitely while on the football front. Spring practice starts today, and it's not 100% clear who's coaching defensive line later this afternoon. In most places in America, employment is at will. Like, we work for the pleasure and discretion of the employer in most places. So, Chuck, I don't like that blue shirt you wore. I got somebody else in mind. Firing an employee for DUI is absolutely a legal thing in so many places. We just don't seem to enforce it unless you already have a pretty groovy life. You work the counter at like the all-night 18-pump gas superstation and you get a Dewey on your off time? They don't fire you. Is it, well, you're already living a non-glamorous, perhaps even humbled life. It's fine. You just stay there. But if you make a pile or you're famous, et cetera, or you've got stuff I don't, we have to take stuff away. We're screwy. We are absolutely screwy. Heath, how's your Monday?
Yeah, the one thing I'd say on that, Chuck, is that in the case of that guy who's the working stiff at the convenience store or whatever, makes a poor choice, I think there's at least that feeling that, hey, maybe this is a guy who made a poor decision because he's thinking, hey, I don't have the money to pay for a cab home or whatever. It's just so aggravating when you talk about football players, for example. The NFL literally has a 24-hour hotline set up to say, anytime, anywhere, no questions, yep, we will pick you up. We will get you where you need, yep, to go. And yet players still make poor choices. And obviously, look, if you're in a leadership role, especially a relatively new leadership role, and this is what you choose to put out there, I don't know if Michigan will hold on to this guy or not.
Awful for 10 ways. You're
but
right.
It, for so many reasons, it's just spectacularly dumb to put yourself in the position, yep, where this could happen. I want to mention a name, Chuck, that I suspect you probably discussed a few times on this show about 3 years ago and then probably haven't said more than a word or two about since. Remember Tommy Brockermeyer by any chance?
Oh, he was the five-star. He's Blake's kid that went to Bama and then transferred back west.
Yeah, went to TCU. Yeah. Brockermeyer, as Chuck noted, a five-star, was perceived as a major, major deal when he signed with Alabama. Only appeared in two games in 2022, then
he
transferred.
He and Latham came in together.
Yeah, then transferred out to TCU, and it looks like he's done. Tommy Brockermeyer retiring from football, according to multiple outlets, and no longer listed on the roster there at GoFrogs.com, apparently. So it's just a reminder. Yeah, signing day is great, and in the case of Brockermeyer, I don't know specifically injuries, what exactly it was that apparently forced him out, or if he just kind of realized, hey, man, you know, this isn't for me anymore. But
every year, some of those five stars, for whatever reasons, injuries, homesickness, just peaked in high school and never quite had that extra gear to find once they got to college. Every year, a certain number of these five stars, the minute they sign, that's the last time they'll ever be particularly a high-profile, relevant figure again. And Brock Urmyer is just kind of another reminder of that.
Who are you talking to? I watched Calvin Ashley. Remember him? Five-star tackle. He signed at Auburn. I watched him turn Montez Sweat into a first-round draft pick one night in Starkville. So, I mean, a Byron Coward. Do you remember Byron?
Oh, yeah.
Number one defensive end in America. I watched him actually go to Maryland and turn into kind of a productive. Everybody said he's aces as a kid. Fant works hard, to just never could make the play, never could close at Auburn. He moved on. It turned out, like, I've seen five-star after five-star with that story.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
So, Robert, I want to thank you for your time. I just don't think you're the right person for this position.
I don't understand. Was it something I said?
Well, we did a background check on you and found some things of concern.
If you're in charge of hiring for your company, you know how helpful a background screening can be. That's why companies that use Horizon Background Screening make smarter hiring decisions. Don't let the wrong hire put your company at risk. Get the real story on your candidates at horizonscreening.com. Horizonscreening.com.